Adults in the Kalamazoo area who have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder may soon have the option to live and work in an agricultural community. Autism Agricultural Community Option for Residential Needs, or ACORN Farm, has received certification of its tax-exempt status. Cindy Seamark is vice president of the board and one of the founders of ACORN Farm, and she's here with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me again, Gordon.
Let's explain, first of all, how important is it to get tax-exempt status for an organization like yours, which is trying to undertake kind of a big project?
Right. Well, it's really essential because it enables people to donate knowing they'll get a tax deduction, and that's big for everybody. So especially the larger the amount, the more you can deduct from your taxes, and it just makes the giving go a lot easier.
Let's explain the basic idea behind ACORN Farm.
The concept is that it will be a place where adults with autism can choose to live. It won't be for everybody, but essentially a farm that has animals, not really growing crops except gardens, probably greenhouses, maybe growing hay for the animals, but it's not really going to be a farm that pays for itself in that sense. It's more the idea of providing stable, meaningful work for people with autism and who really need that repetition of jobs that come every day and that are really important. You know, it's important to keep animals healthy. It's important to keep gardens weeded. And then there will be a variety of other activities as well, such as music therapy, arts and crafts. So it's not just farm activities, but that will be one of the fundamental activities on the farm.
And is the basic setting of an agricultural community beneficial to people with some autism spectrum disorders?
It's very beneficial because, for instance, my son, Jeremiah, he has, and this is pretty typical with people with autism, they tend to have a lot of sensory issues, meaning that they're hypersensitive to stimulus that comes in, things that we take for granted that come in through your five senses. And you're able to filter out a lot of things. Say if you're in a crowd, you're able to filter out the noise that you really can't stand and just concentrate on certain noises, maybe listening for someone that you know. With people with autism, you know, they respond to it all. So it can end up being just chaos inside their minds and heads when they're trying to process all the sensory information. And being out in the open outdoors, of course, they won't be all the time outdoors, but in a setting that's more peaceful, no traffic noise, where they're able to spread out a little bit and take breaks if they need to, there won't be as much sensory information coming in that's so loud, and not as many people. And also working with animals is very therapeutic.
You mentioned that a tax-exempt status makes it somewhat easier to convince people to donate
yes.
money. How much money do you need to raise?
Well, we're thinking at least $3 million. And of course, when you talk about that, at the time when you want to build would be now, but we realize we won't be able to build for a while, so that, you know, it usually goes up, but we'll start with at least that. And we're looking for 40 to 60 acres of land.
Are there other specifications you're going to need because of the people who will be living and working there? I mean, are there certain things that you need in that land in order to have a community of people who have autism?
Yes. We will be building residences, and those will be designed with the residents in mind. Just certain things like maybe extra insulation, because sometimes people have little meltdowns or big meltdowns, probably blinds, you know, that are embedded inside the windows, and everybody having enough space in their room, so it's more like a little apartment, and will they be able to sit in there, have a sitting area, as well as a bedroom, as well as a bathroom, And they'll be able to entertain family and friends in a private area rather than being around everyone else in the common areas.
You said this will be for some adults, but not for everybody.
Right. You know, everyone deserves to have choices. So that's really what we're trying to do. And that's our name says it. You know, we want to provide another option. There really aren't many options for adults with autism. They can live in residential settings that are created for people with disabilities or in the community in apartments, like low-income apartments. My son lives in an apartment. But the issue is finding meaningful work and activities to keep them busy during the day and that they will find meaningful and, you know, help them identify their passions. That's where things fall short. Once they get out of school, there isn't as much for people with autism to do because they can't always fit into the programs out there that are for people with disabilities.
Do you have a sense yet, either through research or maybe just anecdotally conversations you've had with people, what sort of demand there is out there for this type of facility?
Well, of course, when people graduate from high school or they age out of the school system, they're still out there, but there isn't a lot of data on how many adults right now are in Kalamazoo County or in Southwest Michigan, because it's, you know, they kind of stop tracking after you're out of school and they tend to sort of disappear, but we know they're still out there. And what we're trying to, we know there's plenty of people who could benefit from this program. We know there's adults with autism out there, and we've started to identify them through the agencies. More importantly, there's a huge wave of younger people coming up because of the great swell of diagnosis of autism. It's just huge compared to when my son, it was 1 in 10,000 when he was diagnosed, and now it's, the most conservative estimate is 1 in 88 children. So that's like a tsunami of kids that are going to age out of school and they're going to need something. So we're only going to really scratch the surface of the need.
How many people do you hope would be able to live and or work at this facility when it's completed?
We'd like to have 16 to 20 residents and then another 25 or 30 maybe people who would come in just to partake in the vocational program. So and they would be living elsewhere and just come in. And there also may be some people living at Acorn Farm who would prefer to have a job somewhere offsite, and that's fine as well. We would totally support them either way.
Do you have a plan for funding after you construct this farm?
It's going to take a lot of grants, some sizable donations, and that's going to have to be ongoing, as with most nonprofit organizations.
How old is your son, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah is 39.
Would your son like to take advantage of something like this if it were available?
Yes, I know he wants to live out in the country again. That's where he was raised, and he used to just walk around outside in the yard. It was very calming to him, and you know, he'd look at the sky, and he just enjoyed being out in the country. And he's also working on a farm right now, if I might mention that we are borrowing a farm for the time being at Tillers International. And this is a wonderful organization. They are also a nonprofit. And they are really a gem that's kind of hidden in Kalamazoo County. They teach draft horse and oxen plowing, all the old farm arts that are being lost. And they have welcomed us with open arms. We are going to be doing a vocational program there starting tomorrow, July 9th. However, for several months now, Liz Farmer, who's a member of our board, she's a pediatrician, and she had already been doing what she calls farm therapy with children and adults with different disabilities for several years because she realized the therapeutic value of it when she was doing her mental health rotation. So Jeremiah's been working with Liz 2 hours a week. And so he's going to Tiller's tomorrow, and he's going to start his vocational program, though. But he's already been working with her and loves going out there.
Do you have any sort of a timetable for this farm?
Well, it really depends on the fundraising. And actually, different farms throughout the country that we're kind of modeling ours after, especially Bittersweet Farms in the Toledo, Ohio area, they had 80 acres donated, and every entity we've talked to has had farmland donated. So we're hoping that someone might be out there who is thinking about maybe making the biggest donation of their life that would have the greatest amount of impact for a lot of special people.
Is that what you project to be the largest part of your costs right now, would be actually purchasing the farmland if you have to?
Probably not, because there'd be the farmland, and of course it may or may not come with buildings. So it would be ideal to have at least a barn, maybe a few outbuildings, a house where we could house office space for a while. But the residences will have to be built, and then a activity center where you could do indoor activities would be all weather, you know, because there's going to be times when you can't be outdoors in the winter. A lot of the time you could do your chores, but then you would need to have indoor space to run the rest of the program. So an activity center, maybe with a facility for physical education and physical movement, sensory room, computer room, arts and craft room, you know, just all-purpose building. And that will take quite a bit of money as well.
You mentioned that there's been a big increase in diagnoses of autism.
Yes.
Even since your son was diagnosed.
Yes.
Do you think that in a way has raised awareness about this and perhaps helps the cause, that there are more people who either have a child who's been diagnosed with autism, or, you know, you extend that out, it's somewhere in their family, it's a nephew, it's a niece, or it's a close friend. Does that in some way help you reach some of the people that you're going to need to reach?
It definitely helps. Everyone, I think so many more people are aware of autism and the impact of it than they were when my son was diagnosed. In fact, they used to think I was saying artistic instead of autistic. They really didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And now the public awareness is much greater. However, I think the focus is still on children. And I know that raising a child with autism, it's about all you can do to stay in the moment and stay a few steps ahead of your child with autism, not to mention your other children. But parents need to be looking forward and thinking about what's going to happen when my son or daughter is out of school. Because, I mean, nothing's perfect, but you have it pretty nice when you're in school, you know, and the programs are designed for the disability, and the teachers are specially trained, and then you get out of school, and it's a huge shock to many parents to find that you have to kind of make your own way. So we're trying to, you know, make the way smoother for people to transition, but the focus really needs to be also on adults, because all those children are going to grow up.
Cindy Seamark, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Cindy Seamark is Vice President of the Board for the Autism Agricultural Community Option for Residential Needs here in Kalamazoo, also known as Acorn Farm. She's also one of the founders of Acorn Farm.